Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 2, which says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." And so last week we started looking at the issue of the commandments that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, and how there is an issue of these things that were given unto the saints at Thessalonica by the Apostle Paul. And we spent last time looking at the issues of the law, the covenant that had been given to the nation of Israel. And what we're going to do today is we're going to start looking at what relationship that the members of the body of Christ today would actually have with the idea of those covenants. So we're going to start here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to see here where the Apostle Paul is going to start speaking about these things of the covenants that had been given in time past. And here it's Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's read verses 11 and 12, which say, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." So we see this issue of Paul describing how the Gentiles were looked at in time past, and how the Gentiles had none of the advantages that the Apostle Paul speaks of that were given unto the nation of Israel, and how they had all of these things, and that's where you see him listing them out, describing this condition that the nation of Israel had. And all of these things that Paul's listing out, these advantages that Israel had, is what separated them from the other nations. And the Gentiles didn't have any of that. And the only way that they could get to be part of those things would have been to have tried to join themselves up with the nation of Israel and try to put themselves under any of the conditions that Israel had, including what was salvation for them. And looking at the aspect of how the salvation that they had, you know, one was based on their performance system, and the fact that they had to be doing these works to justify them. And how we see, we're going to look at some things, talk about how today individuals are justified without the law. And we see how, as Paul continues on in this chapter, that he speaks about the issues of what is happening now. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter number 2. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so there's an aspect of that now in this dispensation that all individuals have access unto God. That the issues of, and you see how Paul is making it very clear that the law has been abolished during this dispensation, and that it's not only is it not part of who we are, it's not part of what God is doing today, and how there's a new program going on related to how individuals are saved today and how individuals are saved by grace through faith, and that salvation comes by a person putting their trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. A person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That's what is true with, and that's true and with nothing related to any of the commandments, nothing related to the law that had been given to the nation of Israel. There's a complete separation from those things that had been there in time past. That's why you see how over and over again the Apostle Paul has to keep bringing this up, because of the fact that there's so much written in the Scriptures that speak about that type of a salvation. That's why he has to make statements like he does. Let's go over into the book of Romans. And we'll go to Romans chapter number 6. And so we'll see here in Romans chapter number 6, and we're going to read here verse number 14, which says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." So Paul, speaking to individuals during this dispensation, brings up the issue again of how we are not under the law, that the law has nothing to do with who we are. And having to bring this up again as he's giving information to individuals. And we see today how people struggle with this fact and how people want to try to put themselves under a law system, not really realizing that this is not part of what God is doing. That everything that they're trying to do by putting people under a law is running contrary to how God would have things done today. We see here, if we continue on in the book of Romans, let's turn over now to chapter number 8. And we'll see how Paul brings this up here when he says in verse number 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So the issue being that we have been made free from that law. You know, and when we talk about being made free, it means that it's not only is it not a part of us, it never could have been part of who we are, because it has nothing to do with anything that's related to who we are as the members of the body of Christ. That's why we see how Paul states this. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 2, to where he's going to make this very clear for individuals. You know, and I don't know if he could say this any clearer than what he's going to say here in verse number 16, when it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, when we read this, we see how, you know, Paul is saying that the works of the law cannot justify any flesh. Now, we cannot take this and read this into time past. We can't take this and read it into the ages to come and say that Paul's saying a truth that cuts across all dispensations and that there's no justification that ever came by the law, because we can clearly see when we read through the scriptures that there is references to the fact that the law did justify individuals in time past, that the law will justify individuals in the ages to come. But what Paul is saying is that today, the law does not provide that justification. The justification comes, it says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a Bible that's not a King James, chances are that every time it's saying the faith of Jesus Christ in this verse, it's going to say faith in Jesus Christ. So it's going to take it into the fact that it's the faith of the individual and taking it away from what truly is justifying individuals, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary, because that's what actually justifies an individual. What he accomplished, his satisfactory payments to take care of the issue of sin. You know, it's not anything that we possibly could have done, because anything that we would have done is going to be looked at as being filthy rags in the eyes of God, because there's no way that we can do anything good enough to earn our salvation. That's why it has to be everything that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. That's why it's the faith of Jesus Christ. He did it all. That's why Paul can, as he continues on, you know, in this same chapter, let's skip down to verse number 19, which says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So he's now bringing up this issue of that individuals are dead to the law. He continues on verse 20, giving the issue of how an individual is living the life that they're supposed to be living today. When he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life we're living today is all the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. That's how, if we're doing the things that are pleasing unto God, that's how it occurs, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. It is everything that he has accomplished on our behalf that's giving us this right standing in the eyes of God. In verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So the issue being that, you know, if righteousness could come by the law during this dispensation, then what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross would be considered to be vain, empty. There would be nothing good or nothing that could really result from them. We see how in chapter 3 that Paul talks about the fact that individuals have been redeemed from the law. In verse 13, when it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the issue being that, you know, those who live during this dispensation have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That the law, you know, again, not having an impact on who we are. So now that we've established this fact, that the law doesn't have an impact, that it's not what we are to do, we still have this problem of how Paul is talking about this issue of these commandments that he's making a reference to here in the book of Thessalonians, and how, you know, there's these things that, you know, he's saying that an individual should be following. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And we're going to see how Paul uses this term commandment here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We're going to start here at verse 12, and we're going to read down through verse number 14. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying here, and when we look at what this command that he's giving, it's the issue of what we see in verse number 12 when he's saying, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. That's what he's commanding Timothy, and by extension, all of us, that we are to do. That we are to be, you know, and when he's saying, talk about, you know, fighting that good fight of faith, it's an issue of remaining faithful to the message that has been given to us in this dispensation. That's why we see how, if we go over to Titus chapter number 1, we're going to see in verse number 3, where Paul says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So there's an issue of this word that had been committed unto Paul that is manifesting itself through preaching, and he's identifying the fact that this was given by the commandment of God. That there's these issues of how Paul was given information, and that they were really to be following these things, and the fact that Paul does use this word command in a way that is reflective of that here's what the word of God for us has been given. We'll go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we're going to see how Paul's going to use this concept here. And we're going to start here at verse number 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note this man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So we see this issue of, as Paul's talking about this idea of command, it's an issue of that here is things that are the word of God that's being given unto them. And we can have an understanding of how this was really an issue for them, because prior to the Apostle Paul, that everything that, you know, he had seen related to what was going on was the fact that they were supposed to be selling all that they had, giving to the poor, following the Lord Jesus Christ in the commandments of the law, and that there were individuals that apparently were still trying to do this same thing of, well, we can sell all we have, give to the poor, we don't have to worry about taking care of ourselves. And Paul's saying, no, here's what's going on in this dispensation, and he's giving things that are directly from God, the information given unto him by the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, these are the commandments, that this is what they are supposed to be following as they are functioning properly according to the doctrine that's given to us in this dispensation. And that's why you see how Paul will use the phrases of follow me as I followed Christ over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, speaking of how if Paul was following the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, that this is how we are to be following things, how we are to be functioning and not doing the things that are of the law, but understanding that what's been given unto us by the Apostle Paul is functioning as he's calling it a command. And we see how there's only these, you know, a few times that we're seeing Paul using this terminology, more relating it to just the fact of how we're to be preaching the word, staying faithful to the word. That he keeps taking it back to how we're living in relationship to the word, and really only gets into that idea of it being a command in a couple different places as he's trying to reinforce this with individuals, how he's trying to reinforce this, you know, as he's writing unto Timothy, giving him these instructions as Paul's sitting there in a prison cell, knowing that these are the last epistles that he's writing. And we see how in that relationship to the word, that we see how there's an issue. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read here verse number 2, which says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And that the goal of what we are to do is that we're to take this message, give it to individuals that can be identified as being faithful men, so that way they can go out and teach this same message, give it to individuals, so that way people can be influenced, there could be salvation, there could be that spiritual growth that's to be coming through the word of God, and that the word of God rightly divided will continue to be preached. This gospel message will continue to go out, and that the word of God will continue to have the effect that it's supposed to have. That is the goal that the Apostle Paul is looking at and what he's trying to remind individuals of. Now, we'll continue on looking at some things in this verse, next week. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of past Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.